Goolboy soccer clubs across the country took part in Silent Sideline Weekend last weekend. Silent Sideline Weekend. And this meant that parents standing on the sidelines were banned from shouting and screaming and hooting and hollering and instructing the kids on the pitch. Can you imagine? Alarmingly, this is the reality for lots of young Irish children competing in schoolboy soccer matches up and down the country. It's not their other children doing the taunting and the irritating and the cajoling and being mean. It's the parents. Well, Martin Loughran is the Crumlin United secretary and has coached many schoolboy teams, have been involved as a parent coaching his own children as well. Good morning to you, Martin.
Morning, Ryan.
Did you take part in the Silent Sideline Weekend last weekend?
We didn't this weekend, no, but we plan on doing it in future weekends, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
What do you think of it?
It's very good. It's very good. Obviously, the problem with parents and coaches on the sidelines is, you know, being roaring and screaming at kids and stuff like that. But it's been addressed, and this is another part of it that's going to help to alleviate it.
So what happens on a typical match if you get a bunch of lads who are, or parents who are screaming and shouting? What do they do?
Well, everyone wants their kid to do the best. Everyone thinks Johnny's going to be a superstar. We've all been there. I've had my own young lad. He's now 24, but he was 7 and 8. That parent was me. But basically what people do is the lad makes a mistake or they're trying to coach the kid at the sideline. I mean, the manager or coaches, every club has them for 2 nights or 3 nights a week, so they should be left to coach them on the match day, you know?
Yeah, and they're shouting at the ref saying, right, bad decision, shouting at the kid saying, run faster, save that, kick that, do that.
Yeah, I mean, they could be telling the kids totally the opposite to what the manager and coach are trying to teach them.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't see a parent going to the classroom and if the teacher tells the child to do that, so here, no, he's not doing it that way, he's doing it this way.
And do the shouting, parents shouting on the sideline, do other parents not tell them to shut up, or are they too embarrassed to say?
Well, it's getting to that stage, yeah, it is getting to that stage, yeah. Like, I was at a game where a parent let a roar at a child on the pitch, and the parent beside him told him to
shut the...
be quiet, like, you know.
Yeah,
I mean? No need for it, you know.
No need for that, carry on.
No need for it, but I mean, the stuff that's going on now, it's progression, like, a lot of the leagues now have this small five-a-side games, no referees, no subs, all the kids get a game. It's non-competitive. It's really good. Oh, so every child gets a game.
So everyone gets a go, so you're not sitting on the sideline being...
Yeah, you're not getting up at 8:30 instead of the morning and getting home at 12:30 and Johnny Money got 5 minutes of football, which just happens.
Yeah,
in every club, it's happening in every club.
And the parents, their nerves are gone because they had to get up themselves and drag them out. So how are they working, the Lord of the Flies games? Are the kids, no rules, no necessarily?
No rules, no referees.
So are they working out okay? The kids looking after
really
themselves?
Yeah, really good. All the kids are getting a touch of the ball. I mean, you know, we get a stage where we assessed the game last year where a player only got 3 touches of the ball in 20 minutes. When it was before, it was non-competitive. Now it's non-competitive, and that child to get loads of touches, you know what I mean? Because they're all getting on, they're all playing. They play 2 5-a-sides, and then they switch over and play the opposition. You know, the team would bring 10 players to the ground. We'd have 10 2 5-a-side matches. They switch over after 10 minutes and we'd switch again. So they get 3 10-minute games.
Good. And there's no parents acting a maggot, shouting and...
Well, that's still gone on a little bit. But I mean, look at parents. You know, when I here to have a go with the parents.
Yeah.
It's an education for everyone, for coaches, managers, clubs, parents, and children. Parents are great. They're the ones that get up in the morning, bring their kids to the grounds, and bring them training and stuff like that. So there is, you know, parents put a lot of work in.
Yeah, for sure.
Just when they get to the matches, some of them turn into, you know, I don't know what they turn into, but it's something that's been addressed. A lot of clubs now have that pitch is roped off for the small games. They have areas corralled off where all the parents stand in, some clubs here like that. So it's progression. I think, in fairness to the DDSL and the FAI, a lot of stuff going on. It progresses and they keep going when they're going. I'd say you'd see a better class of football I'll certainly be produced in this country in the next 10 years anyway.
Sounds good. Well, anything for that is good news entirely. Martin, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.
That's Martin Loughran there, Crumlin United secretary, and that's a new code of practice essentially called Silent Sideline Weekend, and it's just going to get those loud mouths at the side of the pitch who are shouting and probably putting the fear of God into their poor children. They're now being told to quietly shut up.
Follow us on Twitter at RTE2FM. Having just toured the UK, the award-winning dance theatre company Junk Ensemble is touring Ireland with their critically acclaimed The Falling Song. Performed by a male cast and children's choir, it explores the dangerous relationship between flying and falling. Town Hall Theatre Galway, April 7th, Pavilion Theatre Dunleary, April 10th, Garter Lane Waterford, April 12th, and Lime Tree Theatre Limerick, April 16th. See junkensemble.com, supported by the Arts Council.
RTE, supporting the arts.
How about a journey through the streets of one of the world's most famous literary capitals? Your guides, people like Swift, Yeats, Joyce and Beckett. This year's Dublin One City, One Book is, if ever you go, a map of Dublin in poetry and song. Events include poetry readings, film screenings, exhibitions, music, tours and lots of other activities, most free. Get a programme at your library or bookshop or visit dublinonecityonebook.ie.
RTE, supporting the arts.
Call Ryan now.
1850-715-922.
Tubridy on 2FM.
All right. Now, where are we? Heather, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Good, 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 thanks, yeah.
What about the stickers? You like them?
No. I'm always driving behind the cars. Before I was pregnant as well, going, God, too much information, and just wasn't for me at all, really, no.
Yeah, well, I often see when I see the baby on board, I say, well, now I'm definitely not going to crash into the car in front of me.
Yeah, that's exactly my point. I'm always like, okay, I'll hold back another foot. I don't know, and it's not really my thing at all. But I texted in to tell you because I was shopping. We're expecting a baby in a couple of weeks.
Congratulations.
I'm sure you know the way you have to go and get all your bits.
Yeah.
Went to a shop and looking for a buggy and going through everything. So the salesperson just kind of took off light and said, okay, and you'll need this and you'll need that and you'll need this sort of base and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And then she said, there was a whole big stand of all these stickers and hanging things and baby on board and whatever, all this kind of stuff. And I kind of glossed over them and she went, oh no, you'll need one of these. And I was like, why? And she said, if you crash your car, they're just going to save you. They won't know if the baby's in the back and the baby will be left. And I went, what?
Oh, my God.
And she said, and I said, God. And my husband was there, and he was like, really?
Come on.
And she's like, oh, no, because if they don't see the sticker, they won't know to look. And I said, no, I'd say they will. No, it's compulsory.
That is compulsory. Bonkers.
Yeah, so compulsory.
Compulsory, to have a baby on board. That's.
So I was like, right, okay. So I just was like, now I'm a midwife myself and like years of nursing as well. I'm like, every paramedic does a survey. You know, it's a full faith in the Ambulance Service of Ireland and everywhere, you know.
But yeah. Maybe they need to put a baby on board and all the ambulances in case if there's an accident in the ambulance, people mightn't see the baby and know that there's a baby in the ambulance.
I think it's a lot of scaremongering.
No, I know. We get a big baby on board, big posters for outside hospitals in case there's a fire. And people will know that if there's a fire, to know that there's babies in there.
Yes, absolutely.
Is the logic we're dealing with, is it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's not fair. I mean, we're going like, and you are. I mean, you are. You know, you're looking and think, what do I need? I need the safest things for all my, all this my baby. And you're all, you're looking. And like, well, I'm a midwife, I kind of know so much, but you need to know a little bit more about everything. Everything's new to you. And then you hear all this. God almighty.
€5,000. The paper said yesterday you were going to have to spend on your new baby to get ready. That's to get the buggies and the everything else.
Oh, God, I think I'm a bit cheap, am I? I don't think I've done that.
No, I think you're normal. That's the thing. I think anyone who spends $5,000 getting ready is just, it sounds like it's a bit excessive to me anyway.
Yeah, no. I don't think you need to do that much at all. I think you can go out of control. And I think there's an Aston Martin buggy,
I want to be pushed around in one.
I think 007 tribute or something. I thought, well, if you're going that far, it's for the wrong reason.
I've never heard of that. Somebody sent a text in saying, pregnant women should wear t-shirts saying baby on board. Because if they fall over, people will have to know that there's a baby in there.
That's it. Yeah. I think pennies have that covered.
Oh, they have. Of course they have. What do you think of the cars with the stickers with the family, like, dad, mum, baby, dog?
I haven't seen many of them. No, I haven't seen that many. Yeah. No, I think I'd probably have the same reaction as the baby on board hanging thing. Now, everyone's different, I suppose, and people are very happy and proud to stick up their... I just never been me, and none of my friends have done. I don't know. I just kind of think it's a bit just a bit too much information like that.
Yeah.
You don't know who's around. I don't know.
There's this need, this generation's need to tell everyone everything.
Well, it's like that pushing up the ultrasound pictures up on Facebook. You know what I mean? It's just a lot of a sharing culture, isn't it?
You think that's a bit... Now, you're a midwife. So I thought you'd be kind of going, oh, it's lovely. Look at my ultrasound. It's my little Neil Armstrong baby on the moon.
Well, I work in ultrasound as well, so I'm always like, oh, don't put up on Facebook as I give them the pictures.
Why do you object to that?
I just think some things are maybe just for close friends and family. You know, I don't know.
No, most nowadays, really, nothing's just for close friends and family. It's for everyone. Because of Facebook, we have to tell everyone how brilliant everything is.
I don't know. And then some people, like you just said about the moon thing, it doesn't make sense to a lot of people, you know, unless you're showing and go, that's the head, that's the leg and things like that. Like, so it just looks a bit, just a big blob of, you know, I mean,
you're so romantic about it. Blob.
I know. Obviously, my baby pictures aren't like...
Oh, no, yours are amazing. Yours like Gauguin or something. Is this your first baby, Heather?
It is.
How are you feeling about it?
Oh, it's grand. Just 2-3 weeks left to go, so all right.
And is it different, I suppose, if you're a midwife and you've seen it all before, does that make you less or more nervous?
I think it's the balance between, I suppose, knowing what's ahead of me and then wondering how I'm going to actually go with it. I don't know. I suppose I've worked for years, you know, with it all and kind of, you know, I thought that there's nothing wrong with not having a baby if you're a midwife. I think it gives, you know, absolutely brilliant support, but now it's supposed to be a bit more reality going, what will I be like? But I don't know.
Well, what we'll do is we'll ask your son or daughter to come on with us in about 15 years and see how you did. How's that?
But I haven't spent the 5,000. I don't know how they'll do.
Yeah, of course. They'll be on the psychiatrist's couch going, she only spent 2,500 getting
That's
ready for
it.
Me.
They'd be deprived.
There wasn't a baby on board sticker at all.
No, not at all. They didn't even know I was around.
Okay, so 2 weeks' time is roughly D-Day.
About that, two, 3 weeks, okay.
Well, congratulations in advance and good luck. Maybe you'd send us a text a few days afterwards and let us know how you're going on, will you?
Please, God. Okay, thanks very much.
Listen, lovely talking to you. See you soon.
Bye.
Bye for now, Heather. 51552. It's a lovely name, isn't it, Heather? Text number this morning, yes, 5 minutes. Email tubs@rte.ie. Jade says, I think that a person... would think twice if they see a baby on board sticker, if they're going to take a risk of overtaking stupidly with all the stupid people on the road who don't pay attention. I think they are worth the couple of euro. I'd rather be safe than sorry. So that's a thumbs up for the baby on board sticker from Jade. The baby on board thing is important. Another. The defence of the baby on boards have started. I drive a bit on the fast side and close to the car in front to get ready to overtake, but when I see a baby on board sticker or sign, I back off and give it more room. Obviously, I know I shouldn't drive close to the car in the first place, but I'm a fairly impatient driver, and these signs push me back a little bit. It's a very honest text, isn't it? Because you're obviously a slightly annoying driver and not a very safe one, and yet you are happy to admit that, which is honest of you, and then the sticker makes you calm down a bit and drive a bit more sensibly. So fair play to you for all of that. And drive safely, for the love of God. Five-a-side games, brilliant idea for those kids. Silent sideline, much needed. Operative word, which is sometimes forgotten, is playing. The kids will be playing and enjoying themselves. Ajax Amsterdam Academy ban parents from opening their mouths at every game. Parents confuse the kids on how to play the game. It's down to the manager, says Dave in Galway. Thank you, Dave. And Dee says it is awful to listen to not only the parents, but coaches on the sideline. My daughter once stood shivering on the sideline and not put on as the coach roared at me that he wanted the team to win. I pulled her from the team. Desperate, desperate stuff altogether. Desperate. You took my heart. Oh, That's Calvin and Hobbes there featuring Florence Welch. 51552 being the text number. If you want to get involved in the show this morning, we'd be more than happy to have you on. 1850-715-922. All right, don't forget our Kellogg's competition. Great old prize this week from our friends at Kellogg's. Where are we? That's the question. Where are we? Okay, sounds like a gymnasium or something. I don't know, but hopefully one of you do, because this is the it's a family attraction. We need you to guess, and if you do guess it correctly, 51552, you could be with a chance to win a hamper packed with Kellogg's goodies and a family pass to an Irish family attraction of your choice. You can go to rte.ie/2fm or grownupsgofree.kelloggs.ie for more information. Text, everything we got for our baby was from dundeal.ie. We saved over €1,000 on the high chair and the buggy. The high chair was €140, retailing at €499. Woo! And the buggy for €300, retailing at €950. Obviously, we wouldn't buy those items, only for Dundeal. Good. The baby on board sticker drives me mad, says the text. My 20-something-year-old children are just as important in my car as the baby in the car next to me. By some of your listeners' reasoning, we should start sticking signs in cars saying mother, granny, uncle, brother, etc. on board. Obviously, babies are very precious and need to be minded, but everyone is precious to someone. Says Kate, just my opinion. Thank you, Kate. Chrissy was on. My understanding of the baby on board sign thing is that in the event of an emergency, the sign is there to let emergency services know that there is a baby on board in case they don't see the baby. Well, that's what we were getting from Heather, as she was getting from the shop person. It came about after a highway accident in the US where emergency services did not rescue a baby from a burning car because they didn't see the baby in the as the seat had fallen forward and the mother was unconscious, so couldn't tell them. So there's a bit of logic to that baby on board sign there and that sales pitch by the lady in the shop as well. I'm just reading a piece there by Vladimir Putin because he's divorced from his missus. They have two girls. I didn't know the things you didn't know. Two daughters. Born in 1986 and 1983. And he's divorced and her name has been removed from the official records now because she's out of the picture. But it just reminded me of a story about Vladimir Putin. Do you remember Angela Merkel, the Chancellor, had to go and meet him? I think it was one of their first meetings. And Angela Merkel as a kid, I think this is all true, had been attacked by dogs. So she has a complete fear of dogs, hates them. So when she, the Chancellor of Germany, was going to meet Putin for the first time, she was brought into a room and he was sitting in a chair and on either side of him were massive, big dogs. And he was playing a psychological game with her because he was trying to scare the living bejesus out of her and saying, I'm in charge, I know your story, we know your history, so don't mess with us. Brilliant. Brilliant. Like mad, Bond villain mad.
2FM. The Louise McSharry Show on 2FM.
Coming to you Sunday to Thursday nights from 8 to 10, I'll bring you all the best new songs around. And we also tap into the viral gems captivating people all across the internet.
The Louise McSharry Show.
Sunday to Thursday from 8
on 2FM. Email Ryan now.
Tubbs@rte.ie.
Tubberty. On 2FM.
Good morning, Andy.
Hiya, how are you?
Are you well?
I'm grand, grand, thanks.
So are you for or against the silent sideline?
I'm for, very for it. As coaches, we're told to just let the kids play their own game and they make their own decisions. And that's the most important thing. And when parents are screaming at them on the sideline, they get scared. They get really scared.
Yeah, I would imagine
so. They don't know what to do. So we're always told to just take it easy on them and let them make their own decisions. Now, I was a coach for a while and I was with other coaches as well.
Yeah.
And the other coaches were good at it, but some of the parents were just, they were horrific. Some of the stuff, they scream and kick the ball, Johnny, do this, do that, and it doesn't work. You know, it doesn't work.
I'm just so surprised because I don't have that experience. My girls just aren't sporties and so I haven't been on the side of a pitch. I remember I played a bit when I was a kid. But I've never really seen it, so I'm kind of shocked that parents would be so kind of A, aggressive, and B, a bit stupid.
Yeah, you see, I think it's just they don't realise that the kids won't say it to their parents. The kids won't say to them, look, don't talk to me in the sideline because you're scared of living daylight for me. They're not going to say that. So the parents then don't know. They don't think they're doing any worse, any wrong. And some of them just kind of get carried away in the moment as well. So they just, they scream at the kids to kick the ball, do this, do that. And, you know, what really annoys me is when you see parents, like, advocating, like, hoofing it long, and they're like, oh, great, kick it up the field, you know, it's just, you know, they want them to play football, enjoy themselves.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, there's no doubt that they're all good players. So, you know, let them play.
Well, that was a text earlier on was saying, don't forget the emphasis on the word playing should not be forgotten. Play the game.
Yeah, exactly. It's a game of football.
And do the parents, are they effing and blinding, or is it just shouty?
It's shouty at times,
yeah.
But it can get effy and blindy occasionally, yeah. Like, sometimes you notice that parents just want the kids to win. You know, they think that the kids are going to be happier if they win. I was playing when I was younger, and we didn't win every game, but, you know, we had a coach who didn't really scream or anything like that.
Yeah.
And we loved the game. Every day, every time we were just talking about football all the time. We wanted to go to training every week because we were enjoying playing the matches, even though we lost by a lot of goals. But, you know, we still enjoyed the game. And parents seem to think that they have to win to enjoy the game, and they don't. A texter texted in earlier on to say that Ajax... So they ban shouting. Yeah, they also don't keep score of any games.
Really?
Until they get to 18 years of age or something like that. So it puts more emphasis on just playing and doing what the coach says, and then they get better, and they have one of the best youth systems in the world.
Okay, so there's a method to it all, really.
Exactly, yeah, there really is.
Are you still coaching?
I'm actually in my fourth year of college, you know, at the moment, so I find it hard to get time, so... But
are you GAA? What's your discipline?
I'm soccer. All soccer. Yeah, I love soccer.
Okay, how's college going?
It's going. Yeah, I'm actually on my way into the library. There is an exam today. So
good man. Well, the best of luck in it.
Thank you very much, Ryan.
I suspect you'll be fine. To be honest, what are you studying?
Hopefully, economics.
In where?
UL.
In UL. Okay. Well, good luck in the exam. We'll be thinking of you.
Thanks very much.
Okay,
thank you.
And thanks for talking to us today. Real good to talk to you, Andy. Take it easy.
No, I'll see you. Okay. Thank you.